Here we go.
Fearless Conversations, the Serpents and Doves podcast with Pablo Frassini.
All right, I'm excited. This is going to be a fun one. I've got with me a very, very special guest who's right here. Dude, you've not been on here forever, even though we've talked. My brother, Britt Gillette. I'm excited. He's in the high house. What's up, everybody? Okay, we should do a round of applause for everybody. Like, we should get one of those going. But as usual, this thing is probably going to do an applause right in the middle of the worst timing because I pressed a little button here and it didn't do it. So there we go. There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Britt Gillette. Cool, my brother. What's going on, man?
Oh, just working away and enjoying time with my family and getting ready for here in the United States, Thanksgiving's coming up. Yep. Time to be thankful for all the blessings God's given us.
Amen. Amen. So ministry, dude, you're busy. You've got stuff going on. How many times are you doing it a week now? What, three times still?
Yeah, three usually, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. If there's something else that comes out, I try to put something out if it's pressing or breaking news. But for the most part, it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday. That's what my schedule permits.
Yep. That's good, man. You go, what, about 28, 30 minutes maybe? Do you go longer than that ever?
Yeah, usually 20 to 30 minutes. That's usually whatever time it takes. You know, okay. I don't go into it with an idea of I'm going to talk for this much time. I just say what I have to say and then turn it off.
I like that. Say what you got to say and be done. I'm sure a lot of people probably think that about me. Dude, land the plane, son. Just say what you got to say and let's get over. So, okay, with that said, dude, I say let's just, I stopped doing housekeeping, but I'm going to just get through it real quick because I want you to just show people your website. And you got some great resources there. So let me get on over to the websites, folks, ladies, gentlemen, and all the above. Here is the Serpents and Dove site. It's linked below. If you want to be part of the newsletter, go ahead and give me your email and I'll make sure to add you to the list. I will be working on that this week. So listen, Britt, it's been a while, but let me close this real quick. Ron has put up another great blog called War is Raging. Go to the Serpents and Dove site. You can just click right here. It's not a long read by any stretch of the imagination. It's a really good read. So here is a lot of scripture, short to the point, and I would encourage you guys to go and check it out. What I've done is I have just these are just articles. Most of them are Ron's, but these are just articles. And so if you want to go ahead and read those, I'm revamping everything like I told everybody. So also the gospel cards, I've been getting orders for those. Great little tools, witnessing tools. Just put those down at a coffee shop or a restaurant, hand them out. If you go to a coffee shop and a restaurant, please leave a good tip. Please do. Yeah, there you go. Britt's got his right there, my man. Britt has his. I've got mine right here. So they're good little cards. You can carry them in your wallet. Anyways.
I like your idea of leaving them at the gas pump.
There you go.
In the card slot, and then somebody has to put their hands on it to take it out.
That's right. You never know what happens from there. That's a good idea. I think I need to start doing that too. That's a really good one. Real good one.
Well, I got that idea from you.
And I probably showed a picture. I guarantee you, I think somebody did that. And up in Canada, one of the viewers in Canada did that. And anyways, it's a great idea. Y'all should do it. Y'all should do it. And also, if you like the content and you want to come alongside the ministry, and support it, you just click right up there, the donate button, and it'll bring you over here. And these are different ways. All right, enough of that. Britt, this is all you, man. Tell us.
This is my website. It's endtimesbibleprophecy.com. You can put it in the search engine or my name. It'll pop up. But this has every article I've written for 15 to 20 years is archived on the site, just sort of in the order that it was written. It needs to be updated, but there's a million things that need to be done. You can see on the right-hand side, the books that I've written are available as well. You can find links to those. You can find me on YouTube and Rumble and Odyssey as well for videos.
Yeah, it's all here, folks. The other thing, if you go to the About Us page, that's an old picture. I met his family. It wasn't. Yeah. There's
definitely need to update that. So we have a third child that isn't included in that picture. That's how old the picture is.
I love it. I met beautiful family, by the way. You are blessed. Your quiver is full. It's wonderful. And so, can I just jump in and say, folks, please pray for Britt and his ministry, because it's amazing. God has gifted Britt with not just great oratory skills, but you are a great writer. And like we just showed, look, these are all amazing, amazing articles. I would encourage you guys all to read. I do have Britt's books as well. They are an easy read. What I mean by easy is that they're easy to understand, but they're chock full of great information. So please go check out his website. There is no reason for any of us to lack resources. And the link is below. So if you want, just go ahead, check it out. I think, Britt, is your YouTube channel and all of that linked here somewhere so I could show folks?
No, it probably isn't.
Okay. No, it's cool. I just, then I'll go ahead and link it below as well. So that way you guys could go check out his stuff. Can I do a spoiler alert for both you and I? Would that be cool?
Sure.
Is that okay? Okay, so yeah. Britt and I are, you kind of already have your setup, and Britt is helping me set up my Substack, and we're going to be Substackers. We're going to start stacking some subs pretty cool here pretty soon. So getting busy with that. And so if you could pray for the two of us in the ministries, because Britt's got a wonderful family. He's working a full-time job. He's doing ministry. I've got work that I'm doing too. Aside from this, I have another job as well. So keep us in your prayers. We're busy, 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 but the Lord is coming back soon, right, my brother?
Yes.
And that's a hope. So we're going to talk about hope today, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely, because we got a lot to be hopeful about.
That's right. That is so true. Now, Britt right here, I love Britt because God... You know what? I just love bragging. I'm going to brag on you, man. God has gifted Britt with encouragement, and he's been a big, big encouragement to me as well. And again, I just want to bring that to the forefront because it's a gifting from God, and God's using him in multiple ways other than what you guys just see here. He's a beautiful, beautiful man of God. And so I'm just grateful, brother, to have you as my brother. So I'm excited. If there's anyone here who can bring a wonderful sense of hope and help us do that, it's Britt. So I'm excited, man. So what do you say we dive on in?
Let's dive in. Thank you. The feeling is mutual. I'm glad to have you as well.
I love it, man. So listen, I've got some clips here, five. I don't know if we're going to get through all of them, folks. We're gonna make you guys hopeless really quick. Just to set the stage, people are like, I'm going to turn this off right now. I don't want to be hopeless. No, really, what I plan to do here is just, and I ran through this with Britt before we went on. The hope is for all of us to see, this is Hollywood's version of natural disasters, of things coming on planet Earth. But this is Hollywood's version. Let me reassure everybody, for those of us in Christ, stuff like this is not going to be part of things we are going to experience on the flip side of the rapture. We're not going to be here for this. That is one of the greatest things we get to look forward to, is the rapture of the church. And hey, listen, if we graduate before then, heaven is the hope, then the presence of God Almighty. So I'm going to show you this because for those that are not in Christ, this is a tiny glimpse into what it's going to look like, and it's going to look a lot worse than what Hollywood's version is. Would you agree with that, Britt?
Yes, definitely.
If you want to jump in, my brother, please, dude. Any thoughts on what I just said, dude?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we look at these clips and you said the anxiety that people will feel and feel thinking about some of these events, it really helps shine a light on your life. You know, Jesus said you can build your life on a rock, or you can build your life on shifting sand. And anybody that builds their life on anything other than Jesus Christ is building their life on shifting sand. And that means when the storm comes, they're just going to be in complete chaos. They're not going to know what to do. Their life will be ruined. Even if they survive, they'll just be in tatters and ruins. And so, you know, it's very important to understand as you think about some of the events that are going on in the world today, if it's giving you that great anxiety, ask yourself, is that because I'm fearful of losing something that I've built my life on that isn't Christ? And if you are building your life on Christ, it doesn't mean that you won't experience some level of anxiety over the events that are going on around you. But you should have a peace that Christ gives that the world cannot give.
That's right.
And so you should have that peace, that sense that of knowing, what, as you said, regardless of whether the rapture comes or whether you depart, because it's the end of your days. So each of us have a number of days that God has given us. You know where you're going if you've built your life on Christ. That is Amen. The end goal. The victory has already been won. So there's no need to feel fearful or have anxiety or concern over all of these things other than what can I do to bring others to Christ between and whatever time I have left.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. So we're going to share some, I have some Bible verses here that are just a list of encouraging Bible verses. We'll be sharing that with you. And then to me, which is the pinnacle of encouragement in these days, right? Because at the end of the day, I haven't talked much about Israel. I don't need to, because you could turn on just about any news channel, any Bible prophecy teacher, and any Telegram channel, you'll be seeing updates almost real time with what's happening over there. So that's not to say, Britt, that we're not to be watchful as to, sorry, that's not an earthquake. That's just me. I just hit the microphone and everything just kind of shakes. So that's not to say that we're not to be watching and be mindful of things happening around us. We're to do that, right? Be watching and praying, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Jesus has commanded us to watch, to be alert, to be looking for these things. And I think, you know, to go off maybe on a little bit on a tangent.
Sure.
I know one of the things that I've experienced feedback from people over the years, especially people who are doing that, who are watching, who are alert. Sometimes we can forget the purpose of that, right? And the purpose. Yep. Revelation 19:10 tells us the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. So we watch because Jesus commanded us to. We watch because our eyes should be focused on Jesus, not the events. The events are a means to an end. But sometimes if you get enveloped with that, and we see it in this modern world we live in, where we have so much media coming at us 24/7,
yep.
You can become sort of lost in that and have that become your end unto itself. And that's when you do start to feel that level of anxiety and that peace, because you're focused on those events rather than keeping your eyes fixed on Christ. Because that's when we focus on, when we know that these events that we're commanded to watch for and be alert for are telling us, what are they telling us? Are they telling us, look at how worse the world's getting? No, they're telling us these are birth pains. These are the things Jesus said to look for. These are the things the prophets said to look for. And it's an indication of the times in which we live that his return is near. It's right at the door. He's coming soon. So we should be excited about that. We should be, you know, God picked us, each and every one of us, to live in these times for a reason. And we could have lived in any other time. And I know some people probably would think, well, I'd like to live in another time that wasn't as tumultuous as the one we live in.
Yeah.
But we were put here for a reason, and it gives us great opportunities, and we should be taking advantage of those opportunities to be bold in spreading the truth, the word of God, encouragement to other people, and pointing to Jesus, because this is this time period. First of all, there's more people on earth now than any other time period in past. So that means there's more opportunities to share the gospel. But also these tumultuous times, because people are building their lives on shifting sand, when the storm comes, they're more receptive to hearing about the rock, right?
That's right.
So if you built your house on the shifting sand and no storm comes, then you go, well, what do I need a rock for? But when the storm comes and blows the house to bits, and somebody comes along and says, you know what, you could have avoided that by coming over here to the solid rock, build your house on that, they're much more receptive to that. So we live in time where, while these events are bad, seemingly bad, God can use those for good. He can use that to shake people awake and to open their eyes, open their hearts to be receptive to the message of the cross.
That's right.
What we should be spreading.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I'm glad you actually said that, because in the series that I'm doing on Are You Rapture Ready? It's a 5-part series. Pretty much the entire theme, underlying theme, is for us to get out. It's gospel-centric. We're living on borrowed time, and the Lord could come back any moment. As I said there, we have the doctrine of imminency any moment, right? And so that should spur us, at least believers, it should spur us on to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've oftentimes said that the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, because those are the two big ones that come to my mind, they put us to shame. I hate saying that. I don't like saying that, but they are, though lost in their zeal, they are so zealous to get their message out to the masses that they're everywhere. I mean, Jehovah's Witnesses are in the airports. Sometimes I see them just on the streets at parks. I'll see them across from gas stations. They'll come to the doors. Mormons ride their bikes. You guys know that. And I hate to say it, but it's hard for me to see the same zeal. And even though theirs is misdirected and it's a false religion, it's a false religious system, ours is the one and only true God. And we're not putting as much effort into getting out, especially in these times, Britt, like you just mentioned. Time is, you know, it's guaranteed, it's promised to nobody. And so for us, we need to be out there sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I had a great conversation today with Phil Romas, and we were just talking about different subjects, but I mentioned to him how, you know, we talked about the gospel and sharing the gospel. But oftentimes I think that, and I'd love to get your take on this, it's almost like the church now is wanting to get the world, the people into the church. And that's kind of the MO of the church. Instead of us going by what the Lord commanded us, which is go into all the world, right? And so our main responsibility isn't to try and get as many people into the building as we can. It should be to get out into the world and get the gospel of Jesus Christ into the world. What do you think about that, brother?
Right. I think that's absolutely right. I've seen that over the years in churches in the area where I'm at, where oftentimes it goes to what we were talking about earlier with confusing the means and the ends, getting them mixed up a bit.
Yep.
So there will be, you know, all sorts of things done to try to entice people to come into the church. And so there's very little discipleship and training people up in the Christian way of life, because there's this constant thought of this, the almost like this is an evangelistic tent meeting. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But that everybody coming in is starting at ground zero. They don't know anything about Jesus. But then the people who accept that message, they aren't then properly equipped within the church, and they aren't building the relationships within the church. They're not growing in their relationship with Jesus Christ as a result of that. Or in some cases, you'll see the church just become completely worldly.
Yeah.
To the point where it's not even a Christian church anymore. It's just a, you know, a rock concert that attracts people. And so, you know, we need to trust God to help spread that message and grow those churches, rather than trusting on gimmicks and resources and promotions to bring people in. Again, like you said, the church should be going out into the community and evangelizing, and having people accept Christ out there and then come into the church to grow and become stronger and then to go back out into the world and evangelize. That should be the, I think we've got a little bit backwards in some instances.
I agree. 100%. Now I could sing a song here. If you guys want me to sing a song, Britt's like, dude, don't do it. Don't do it. But many of you guys know this hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Right? On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. That is a beautiful hymn. I'm not going to sing the whole thing, but it really is a beautiful hymn as to what we're talking about and where our hope should be. And prayerfully, as Britt and I kind of just go back and forth and discuss hopefulness, because we're not to be hopeless, we're to be hopeful in Christ Jesus. This will encourage each and every one of you, because look, at the end of the day, everybody has different battles they're facing right now, a whole lot. And so to add to the turmoil that we see facing us in the world around us, many of us have our own battles that we're facing on the home front too. But praise God that He's overcome the world and we are in Christ and our victory is in Christ. And look, I'm really thankful. Yeah, you mentioned, Britt, that we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving, right? And sad to say that I am guilty of celebrating thankfulness once a year. Not that I'm not thankful throughout the year, but my family, we have this tradition. We'll fill out these little cards. They look like leaves. You know, my wife takes the time to cut them out. And every day we write something we're thankful for, and then we have this tree and we put the leaves on the tree. And so as we get closer to Thanksgiving, the thankfulness tree, it buds, I guess, to put it in words, right? And so sad to say, I'll admit, I do that once a year. But the cool thing is we save those. And on January 1st, we take those out and we read what we were thankful for, you know, in Thanksgiving. So it's just always a good reminder. Psalm 100, if you all get a chance, read Psalm 100. That should encourage you. It's a great psalm about thankfulness. But look, if you were to ask me, hey, what are you thankful for? I have to say that the older I get, the more I realize the depth and my need, the depth of my depravity and the need, the deep-seated need for Jesus Christ each and every day in my life. So I am very thankful that my forgiveness is rooted at the foot of the cross and it's not rooted in my behavior each and every day. Praise God for that, right? I mean, seriously, yeah, we could be stinkers.
Yeah, we could be hopeless.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people look to Christianity and they say, well, your religion is exclusive because you say, you know, and I would say Jesus says, yeah, I'm the way, that's right, and the life. There's only one path to heaven, and why can't all these paths lead to the same place? But rather than being upset that God provided a path and a way to reconciliation with Him and eternal life in heaven, we should be thankful that He provided a path, that He did that. And when you think about what Jesus went through for that, and you really think about that, all that happened to Him,
yeah,
leading up to the crucifixion and during the crucifixion, and anything that we have to go through in life is just pales in comparison to that. And knowing that He did that, He didn't have to do that, but He did that for us, and we are forgiven that debt, that, because without that, it would be hopeless.
Yeah.
Life would be hopeless. And I know, yeah, sometimes if you've been a Christian for a long time, we might forget that sometimes, because I've been a Christian probably about 2/3 of my life at this point. And I know there's a local radio host that I listen to and have listened to for years, and he is not a believer. And he was talking about that a couple of years ago and how he believed that, you know, the belief that's probably most prevalent, that everything just occurred. Everything just popped into existence.
Yeah.
There's nothing happens to you after you die, all these other things. And I started thinking about that mindset. And I thought, how can he get up in the morning and go through life? Because I would be depressed to the point that I would be suicidal if I really believed that there was absolutely nothing. So when you think about that hurt, that level of hurt that people are going through, the level of hurt that we went through before we came to know Christ, if it's been a long time since you've come to know him, then, you know, sometimes we can forget how desperate of a situation that is. And we need to remember that. We need to put that top of mind and realize there are people walking all around us, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, loved ones all around us who do have that hopelessness because they do not know Jesus Christ. And they haven't built their life upon the rock.
Yeah.
And so when they see all of these things, and we all probably witnessed it firsthand 3.5 years ago when the pandemic shutdown started to happen. And people had their conceptions of what life was just completely altered. Well, you know, younger people who probably hadn't even contemplated their potential death when this first came out and people were wondering, well, how bad is this? All of a sudden they were faced with that mortality for the first time, maybe.
Yeah.
In some instances. And it really caused a lot of people to think. And so, you know, there's a lot of people out there in dire need that are lost and they need to hear the truth. And we need to just go forward. We need to be speaking the truth wherever we can. It doesn't mean that we have to, you know, grab people by the shirt and shake them and, you know, and go through a pre-contrived like gospel tract or something like that.
Yeah.
Just speak truth and life and tell people about the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Be prepared. Always be prepared to tell people. Because I know over the years, things, for instance, my mother passed away about 5.5 years ago. I was out with a coworker and we were talking about that. And my mom knew Jesus and I knew where she had gone, right?
Yeah.
And so I told him, well, you know, I don't like that she's not here anymore. You know, sometimes I still go, oh, I'm going to tell her that. Oh, wait, you know, she's not here.
Yeah.
But I'm at peace with that. I'm fine with that because I know where she is and I know that I'm going to see her again. It's just a matter of when. And he said to me, wow, I wish that I had that. I wish that I knew that. And I said, well, you can.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes just our own mindset and interacting normally with people, you know, asking people what they think can lead to a good conversation, all sorts of things. There's lots of conversation starters. If you see somebody with a tattoo, ask them, how'd you get that tattoo? What's the story behind that?
Yeah.
That's one that people have done in the past. And I know Ray Comfort says, what do you think happens after you die?
Yeah.
Right. You're not telling people what's going to happen. You're asking them what they think. Most people are more than glad to tell you what they think on any subject. And so start those conversations with people and just be real.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Because you know what? The world at least is real in regards to how they feel about many things, especially when it comes to, as a whole, Christianity. The world will tell you exactly to your face what they think. And most of the time it's not pretty, but God is greater than anything and he can break down any kind of barrier that he wants to break down. It's not us. It's nothing we can do. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. So praise God for that. But I agree. Yeah. Start a conversation. You know, look, I love design. I was an apparel designer. I'm going to be coming up with some new stuff. And to me, the way I always, look at designing apparel is, for me, they're conversation starters. It's to pique interest. It's to get people to ask questions. I had people come up to me. We were at Sprouts once, which is a little supermarket over here in California. And the guy just tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey man, what's that crown all about on your shirt?" And it was a great opportunity to say, "Well, let me tell you about it." You know, which I think is great. It's like, hey, you know what? The Lord opened the door. And God's good that way. It could be anywhere. And so whatever it is, I mean, you can hand somebody one of these cards and say, "Here you go. This is Jesus's business card. There you go. It's got, you know, the gospel on it." Just any way that you could start the conversation where it will point to Christ. And look, at the end of the day, Britt, some people, or if not most, might not accept the invite, but you planted a seed, right?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, God, like you said, God is the one doing the work. Holy Spirit is the one bringing people to Christ. We're just, yeah. we're privileged to be a part of doing
yep.
that, right?
That's
and
right.
scattering seed. And sometimes you may be one of 500 seeds of truth that were planted with one person over time. And so we were never guaranteed that we would see the results of what
yeah,
we're doing.
That's right.
We need to just faithfully do that and trust that God's going to take care of the rest. And
yeah.
So we need to be spreading seed, and which means spreading the word of God in all its forms and telling people about the hope we have in Jesus, and then let God take care of the rest.
I totally agree. Now, I'm kind of looking off here because I have a lot. My notes are here and some Bible verses. And I want to read something really quick because, Britt, if it's okay with you, let me set the stage for at least this first one, and then we'll kind of go through these. And we'll
sure.
close with the best part of the entire podcast, which is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It is a message of love. Like, look, a lot of people are looking for love. This is the embodiment of love. Jesus Christ is the embodiment, definition of true love. It's not like I was saying on the solo podcast when I was flying solo. We say, I love that hamburger. Hey, I love the way that shirt looks on you. I love my glasses, man. I love the camera. Everything we love, but the word love is very specific. And that's why I think the Greek word love, it's got what, four different definitions, because it's so ultra specific. And I would encourage you guys to do a word study on love, and you're going to be just blown away. But Jesus Christ is the embodiment of love. And hang with us till the end, because I want Britt, my brother, I want you to share the gospel message, which is the best part of this whole thing. So let me set this up real quick. It says in Revelation chapter 8, and you know what? I can probably look it up here so everybody could follow along with us, and then we'll come back to this one. Because I know it's just weird for me to have my head all turned sideways, but let me get over to the book of Revelation chapter 8. So let me see if... Ta-da! There we are. That way we could all be looking at the same thing. So I'm going to go down here to verse 11. If you have your Bibles, you're more than welcome to turn there. And it says here in verse 10, this is the third trumpet. This is before the bowls, folks. So you think it's bad here in the bowl, in the trumpet? It's going to get really ugly in the bowls. But it says here, then the third angel, here, let me go ahead and highlight this so everybody could see it. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. Verse 11 says, the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. And there's also another reference in Scripture and Revelation about a mountain, right, Britt, that is cast down to the earth. So a visual, right? Because again, I've said this a million times. I'm a visual learner. I like seeing things. This is just a short clip of a movie. I don't encourage you guys to watch it because, you know, I don't even know what it's rated, but I guess it's from a movie. I don't even remember what the name of the movie is, but let's play the clip. We could kind of talk through it, but just see what Hollywood's version of an asteroid or a, you know, this is an asteroid, right? Or a con, whatever it is. Let's just play it. Okay, so I guess they're trying to escape it, right? You could see it back there. You know, it's going right over their heads, which I think is funny. Nothing's happening. There's that, you know what I mean? So there's humor in this too. But nonetheless, this is Hollywood. And, okay, these are all the people just chilling. What is Astro? I don't know. Oh, Deep Impact. That's the name of the movie. So everybody's watching and chilling. Look, where do you live, dude?
That's Virginia. Saw that.
That's Virginia, dude. I guess that's one of the protagonists of the movie. Okay, hold on. I know this. I think it's funny. So you guys see what it just did here? It parted the waters like this, but just the kid was riding the motorcycle and it did nothing to the kid. So. Okay, if you're at the beach and that happens, that's usually a bad sign.
Run.
Oh, man, they're the Twin Towers. I remember those. I think this guy's a believer right here.
I was about to say the same thing. I was like, if a wave that big comes, there's no point in running. So
nope.
That guy seems to be at peace.
We were thinking the same exact thing, I'm telling you. Lord, here I come. Okay, I think you guys get the picture here. The clip's almost over. But anyways, don't worry, Britt. Virginia Beach, you're good, man. So anyways, okay, so.
I don't know if they had a copyright issue with the city of Virginia Beach, but I don't think there's any sign that says Virginia Beaches
yeah,
anywhere.
Yeah, so we're good. But all right, so that's the first one. That is Hollywood's version of what an asteroid impact is going to look like on the Earth. Probably a whole lot worse. I'm thinking a whole lot. Now, think about it. This is one event. Let me go back to the two of us. Britt, that was just one event. Let me see how much more time we got. Okay, so we're good. We got about 20 minutes. That was one natural disaster happening, right? The difference between that and what's actually going to happen, like we read in scripture, is there's going to be a whole slew of things happening all at the same time, right?
Right. Oh, the just dozens of these events. And what stands out to me when you read the book of Revelation and I read about these judgments coming upon the earth, is it says, and I think you can read this multiple times in Revelation chapter 16, the people of the world, they know where the judgments come from. So unlike this movie where they may stand around and go, oh, an asteroid just happened to come yep. and hit the earth. Says they knew the judgments came from God because they cursed God as a yeah. result of them. So rather than calling out to God for mercy or salvation, they curse God. And so I think that gives us a glimpse into the mindset that will be prevalent in the world during the tribulation period. Because I know when people talk about the mark of the beast and one of the most common questions that I'll hear regarding the mark of the beast was, how do I know I'm not going to accidentally take that?
Right? Sure.
Well, first yep. of all, it, you know, there has to be a beast, an antichrist yep. for a mark of the beast. There has to be during the tribulation period. If you're a Christian, you won't be here for that period. At least if you're a Christian beforehand, you won't be. You could become a Christian during that period. But, you know, the mindset that the world that we see today, where there are atheists and believers in different false religions,
yeah.
Once we get to probably the midpoint of the tribulation, you're going to have people who worship Antichrist and people who are born again Christians. Those will be the only two people on earth. I mean, the Bible clearly states all those who live in this world, who are of this world, whose names weren't written in the book of life, took the mark and worshiped the beast. And so they're cursing God. They're standing in opposition to God rather than calling out for mercy in the face of events like the one we just watched happening over and over. I mean, large hailstones with fire and, you know, big painful sores. And there's so many different terrible events that take place during the tribulation that are judgments from God. And I believe the Bible reveals to us that people know that that's what they are.
Yeah.
And rather than repent, they stand even more defiant against God.
That's right. No, I'm with you on that for sure. One thing that I wanted to just, you just alluded to this chapter 16, the verse that I showed, which was Revelation 9. This is at the very end, the 200 million demon army and then the demons at the Euphrates. This is at the very end of the chapter. And you could see here, this goes hand in hand with what you were talking about just now. The fact that it says here, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, it says right there, did not repent. They didn't repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship what? Demons and idols of gold. Idols right there. Gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries, pharmakeia, or their sexual immorality or their thefts. So this is just something that, like you said, this is mankind rooted in sinful behavior and just totally opposed to everything God. And they're watching this happen real time. So like the video clip we just showed, happening real time, they don't care. They'll just shake their fists at God and not repent. So, okay, you and I don't remember. Did you and I ever talk about AI? I don't think so. Maybe. I think we might have touched on it a bit. Yeah, we might have touched on it. So this is a short little clip of what some fear could happen if AI becomes singular, right? We got the singularity and where it thinks on its own. It infects all kinds of different systems because it's got a mind of its own, yada, 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 right? So this is the, let me go ahead and go back over here. This is that clip right now. Let me go ahead and play it. It's a short one. Obviously, that's from the Terminator. Those are nuclear silos that are just kind of launching on their own.
A computer program designed to automate missile defense. It was supposed to protect us, but that's not what happened.
Right, so it was supposed to protect us. We're putting their hopes in the wrong place.
On August 29th, 1997, Skynet woke up and decided all humanity was a threat to its existence.
By the way, don't feel too bad. That's Los Angeles. I'm not too far from there. Sorry, I just had to throw that in there. That's San Francisco. All right, let me put the bright side on this. If you're going to be anywhere, you want to be at ground zero if any of this is going to happen. That way, it's like that old man reading the newspaper, right? You're just, that's right. It. So, I know we got to laugh about some of this stuff, but the truth is, this is Hollywood's version of one segment of what a AI takeover could possibly look like, right? So we've got, what do you say we just play through these, Britt? I'll scrub through these really quick and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the best thing ever. And, you know what? I'm going to go there right now and set this up because there we go. I'm going to leave it there. Okay. Britt, let's if you got any comments to make, let me know. I'll pause the video.
Sure. Yeah, let's talk about this one right here, because lot of these movies and a lot of things we read in the media today, especially in 2023 with some of the AI tools we see coming into the marketplace, this is a common theme that we hear, that artificial intelligence is going to wake up. It's going to turn against humanity. This seems to be a concern that's thrown out in these movies, but something that would be a far greater concern, far, far worse than anything in these movies, is human beings in possession of artificial intelligence and directing it, because the human heart is where is filled with an abundance of evil.
That's right.
And so we look at artificial intelligence is simply a tool. The tool is neutral. It's not good or bad. You know, think about a train. There's nothing evil about a train.
Yeah, true.
Nothing evil about buildings or barbed wire or ovens in and of themselves. But the evil of the human heart took all of those things, put them together, and created death camps to exterminate the Jewish people.
That's right.
So the same is true with AI. We should be concerned about the depraved human heart, sinful fallen man in possession of AI and all of its capabilities, rather than the AI itself, because AI is not conscious. No matter how much people may claim that it is, it's, in the end, it's algorithms created by men.
That's right.
They may move at a much faster processing speed, so it appears to us that, you know, the AI is sentient or has its own consciousness, but it's simply because it's the processing power and the memory capabilities of that are more than our individual human brain. But it doesn't mean that it's alive.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that, you know, it has it, that it's, these things are going to happen. And again, I know, and I've stated this numerous times, I'm certain that this will never happen where you have an AI turn on humanity. I mean, first off, the Bible doesn't talk about AI making human beings extinct, but human beings are too arrogant to allow themselves to be overtaken by their own technology. They will simply merge with it.
Yeah.
So you would have certain human beings, some who openly talk about that now.
Yep.
Who will implant things into their brains, into their bodies to become one with the AI, thus infusing the AI with the depravity of the human heart and fallen mankind. That's the concern we should have. Because that's, and that's the one that very few people are talking about.
Yeah.
And so there's not, you know, there's all these talk about, well, what can we do to keep AI from turning on humanity? Well, what can we do to keep humanity from using AI to amplify
our
evil and amplify our sin?
Yeah. Really quick, let me show this as you're talking about that. And I know we're running out of time, but this is a perfect example of what you just said, right? Elon Musk's brain chip startup. This is Neuralink is preparing to implant the device in its first human. And hey, if you want to apply to be the one to get your, you know, get cracked open and get some, you could do that.
What's interesting about that story is, so maybe I think it was last year when they first talked about opening this up to human trials, or they were going to try to have human trials. And the stated purpose of Neuralink is, well, we're going to restore the abilities of, you know, paraplegics to walk again, the deaf to be able to hear again, the blind to be able to see again. And then within that story, and I always say, start with the bottom of a news story first.
That's right.
That's
usually
where the bottom, meat and dairy.
That's right.
Elon Musk says, and then I'm going to get one too. Right.
Yep.
And I think, well, so to my knowledge, Elon Musk isn't deaf, he isn't blind, and he isn't paralyzed. So why would he say, I'm going to get this brain implant too? And the reason is because he would want to enhance his abilities. He would want to improve upon what God's design and carry out well, this transhumanist agenda that we hear about.
That's
there are people that openly want to improve upon themselves. They believe that this is the next step in the evolutionary process. That's their religion, is this belief in monkeys demand evolution. And the next step in that process is transhumans, post-humans, who merge with technology to the point where they're no longer recognizable as human.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I thought it was humorous here. That's why I highlighted that. Neuralink is reportedly still looking for its first volunteer. I'm sorry. I think that's because this is the process. And I mean, just by the, this is a robot, by the way, that would do this. And I don't know how many people would feel comfortable having a robot do that. And I know I wouldn't. But anyways, I totally agree.
You don't want a hole drilled in your head?
Yeah. And then
put an experimental device chip.
Yep, that's right. What if it shorts out or batteries go? Anyways, I agree 100%. All right. So let me see if we could just get through these in the amount of time. We are running short and I want to get to the most important part. But just to illustrate craziness again. This is from a movie called 2012. I'm going to go ahead and turn the volume down here. So you guys could just kind of see what's going on here. So the premise here is that the crust of the Earth is destabilized. And it's just naturally going to have to reset itself. But this is what happens. And these guys are able to fly a plane through. That's, by the way, again, that's Los Angeles. Thank you very much. So that is one good pilot, man. I'm telling you. Kid looks a little scared. But no joke, mind you, the destruction that you're seeing here, right? And to be honest with you, what I see here, and I'm going to just kind of scrub through this, is, you know, the Bible says there's going to be great earthquakes, earthquakes that will level mountains. I don't ever want to be here for that. You don't have to be here for that. But that looks pretty catastrophic right there. And again, this is child's play as to how bad it's going to be. You mentioned the dangers, Brit, of, you know, the human heart. And it's the humans that write. Let's be crystal clear. AI is software. AI is software. It's not hardware. It's software. And AI, as much as people want to give it a sense of, you know, its own personality, what it is a program, an algorithm written by human beings, period. End of story. So this is another movie. That's a terrorist attack there. That's a dirty bomb. I'll let you guys look up what a dirty bomb is. And this was localized, by the way. This is what you're seeing. This is within maybe a 10, 15 mile radius. You wouldn't survive that, by the way. And then again, I'll just kind of scrub through this and I'll pause that. Let's do the last one here. And the reason why I want to play this, and then we'll come back, just quickly talk about it, and I'm going to turn it over to you. The last one I want to play, and the reason why I'm doing it, has nothing to do with climate change, all right? That's not why I'm playing this, even though that's what they think. Look at the size of the hail and the natural disasters, because we know there's going to be crazy hail. What, 100 pounds, Britt? Some of them are going to be 100 pounds. And I don't even think these are 100 pounds. So just be mindful of this. That one's definitely over 100 pounds for sure. Okay, this is a ridiculous machine that controls the Earth's like temperatures and everything. So I guess we're going from hot to cold. Yeah. This is Brazil. She's like, dude, see ya. That was the boyfriend. She left him there. So I guess this is a cold front coming into Brazil. See ya. Anyways, I'm going to scrub through this here. This is UAE. Guys like, what? Again, the big wave. So I could just scrub through here. There you go. There's a nice good vantage point of that gigantic wave that's coming through. And no one's safe. All right, Britt. Where do you go from here? Is it going to get really bad during the tribulation? Yes, Britt. It is going to get really bad. A lot worse than that, right, my man?
Jesus said it'll be a time of greater anguish since nations first came into existence, and it never will be like that again. So think about that. That's a sobering thought when we think about the terrible things that have happened. Just think about World War II alone, what took place during that time. And to think Jesus says, no, that's nothing compared to the tribulation.
That's
going
right.
to be far, far worse.
Yep.
And, you know, it'll be a time that's worse than any that humanity has ever gone through.
Yeah.
And
And that's why I wanted to show these, because again, this is Hollywood's version of a quintessential natural disaster, right? Some of these are called NEOs, near Earth objects, like the asteroid, and or what do they call them? Something extinction event.
Extinction event.
Yeah, something like that. So they're coming. They're coming. But I'll tell you this much. Again, the hope we have in Christ. For those of us in Christ, we're not going to be here for that. We're not going to be here. We won't even have balcony seats for this. We're going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ through all of this. And so the verse that I'm going to go to right now to share, and then I'm going to turn it over to you, because this is where, to me, it's really, really hopeful. And again, as I'm doing this series on the rapture of the church, this is, again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who've fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no what? Hope. We have hope, right? He says here, there are others who sorrow who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. Now, Paul's saying, don't take my word for it. This is what the Lord said. So you take him at his word, because he is 100% always come through, and he always comes through for his people and is true, right? He is truth. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, harpazo, what's the other one? Rapios, I don't know what the Latin verb is. That's where we get our word rapture. Caught up together with them in the clouds. By the way, those aren't cumulonimbus clouds. That's Shekinah glory cloud right there, to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. In that verse right there, 18, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Britt, I'm going to turn it over to you, and I'm going to ask you to talk to the people about hope and comfort that can only be found in Jesus Christ, my man.
Yes. Well, I mean, when we look at all of these events that are taking place, and it's not just the movie clips we looked at today and these terrible events that could happen, but we look at the wars going on today and the rumors of wars and financial crisis right around the corner, so many things that could bring us into a pit of darkness and hopelessness and despair. But we have a reason to be hopeful, and that is that Jesus Christ has already achieved victory over death. And so guys, if you don't know Christ, Let's see. First, we got to start with the bad news. The bad news is we were all born sinners. That means that we've fallen short of God's mark of perfection. His standard is perfection. He's a holy God. And so if you've committed just one sin an entire lifetime, you are a sinner in the eyes of God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, meaning eternal separation from God, meaning our destination once we leave this world is hell. That's eternity separated from God in a very terrible place. So all that sounds terrible and it sounds hopeless. And if that's where the story ended, it would be. That's not where the story ends, because there is good news. The good news is God became a man in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. He came down to earth. He lived a sinless, perfect life. And then he went to the cross, beaten and disfigured, maligned, and spilled his blood. He was nailed to the cross and he died on the cross as a sacrifice so that our sin could be forgiven. He took our place. He paid the price for our sins so that we could be reconciled with God, and a holy God could justify having us in his presence and giving us eternal life because our sin has been blotted out by what Christ did on the cross. When God the Father looks at us, a believer, he sees his son Jesus Christ because of what Christ did on the cross. So guys, that is the good news. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, not a truth, not a life. He is the way. No one comes to the Father except through him. There is no other name under in this world that brings salvation. There is no other way to salvation other than through the cross, through the blood that Jesus spilled on the cross. And so we talked at the beginning of this program about how some people say, well, that's terrible. It's very exclusive. Why would God do that? But God has granted a way at great cost. And he doesn't send anyone to hell. People send themselves to hell when they reject what Christ did for them on the cross. They literally have to step over his dead body and walk into hell because he laid down his life for us. All we have to do is accept that. To accept that, it means we have to repent. We turn from our sins. It just means we recognize the sin in our lives. We turn from it. It doesn't mean you become perfect and sin-free from now on in your Christian life. And it means God looks upon the heart, so he wants you not only to confess with your mouth that you believe in Jesus, but to believe in your heart that he died for you on the cross, that he rose again, and that what he did is sufficient as payment for your sin. And if you do that, if you believe that, you are saved. The Bible says you are saved, and that means when you pass from this earth, whether you're taken in the rapture or whether you die here on earth, you will be in the Lord's presence in magnificent beauty that we can't comprehend. The Bible says no eye has seen, no ear has heard. We can't comprehend how amazing heaven is to be with the Lord for all of eternity. There is great hope that awaits those who believe. And so that's why Jesus said, you know, I give you a peace. I give you a peace that the world cannot give.
That's right.
Not that the world doesn't give, that the world cannot give. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. So if you know Christ, if you have a relationship with him, if he's your life, if he's the rock that you've built your life upon, then all of these other things that we see happening in the world, they aren't going to upend and destroy your life. Doesn't mean that they won't impact your life, but they won't destroy it because you are safe and secure in Jesus Christ, the rock of ages, the rock, you know, he's immovable. Yeah. There is nothing, and the gates of hell cannot part you from Christ if you are his.
That's
There's nothing that can be done once you know Christ. you are safe and secure for all of eternity. And guys, that's a great hope that we can have in these tumultuous times.
Would you mind leading us in a word of prayer? Close us out. Anybody that seriously might want to surrender to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I would love if you could close us out in prayer, brother.
Sure. Dear Lord, we just thank you for bringing us together today to be able to put together this message and to be able to upload it on the internet so that people can see it, not just today, but until you return, Lord, that yes. This hopefully use this message. Use it to reach those who are looking for you, who are searching for truth, who feel anxiety, who feel the concern because their life has been built on shifting sand. Show them yourself, reveal yourself, Lord, and soften their hearts. Allow them to invite you in, Lord, and transform their lives. Lord, we just pray that you will use this to your glory.
Amen. Amen. That was awesome. If you listen, I always say this, if you did pray a prayer to surrender to Jesus Christ, let Britt know, let myself know, either one of us. But I think we would both agree and say the most important thing to do is to get into the Word of God, numero uno, right? Because this right here is going to be your food, the Word of God. Get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you. And if all possible, find a good Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church wherever you're at. And if you can't, for whatever reason, you know what? I would encourage you to find one online or watch, you know, shows like Britt's show and Ken Ortiz. Pastor Ken Ortiz has some amazing teachings too. And there's so many others. You got Eric Barger. It's funny when you want to list them down the line, it's like you forget them, but there are a lot of good Bible teaching pastors out there. Is it Gary Hamrick? I want to say is Gary Hamrick, another one. Is he in your state, Gary?
I don't think so. I'm not familiar with Gary Hamrick.
Okay. I think it's Gary Hamrick. I don't want to give you guys the wrong name. So I'm going to go
too much further. I want to reiterate what you said and really underscore the importance of daily immersion in the Bible, the Word of God.
Yep.
Because everything else comes from that. Because you know, if you're going to find a church that's a Bible believing church, well, how do you know it is?
That's right.
Unless you've read your Bible, unless you understand what the Bible says. And again, yeah. We live in a world where we're just bombarded constantly with these media messages, where we're seeing now, you know, artificial intelligence being used to prompt us and nudge us in certain ways. It's customized to us to try sell us lies. There's so much distortion. We're seeing these deep fakes appear on the internet now.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you tell truth from fiction? How do you tell what's true and what's false? Well, the Bible, the Word of God, is your filter. That's how you determine all of that. And if you don't know it, you're flying blind and you're going to be at the mercy of this world.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I couldn't have said it better myself. It's really, really important. The only way you're going to decipher deception and be able to... That's weird. I went all blurry all of a sudden. Sometimes my camera does that. And you know what? You guys get privy to seeing a nice close-up of me when I do that, because supposedly it should. There we go. There, you guys got a nice close-up of my Italian nose. So anyways, but I agree. Listen, get into the Word of God. That is really the only surefire way of knowing deception before it even shows up. So, and when it does, you'll know it. I agree 100%. His name is Pastor Gary Hamrick. And I want to say he's in Virginia. I'm not too sure. But look him up, Pastor Gary Hamrick. Really good Bible teacher. And anyways, I want to encourage you, as Britt did, and we want to leave you with this. The Lord is coming back any moment. And as I've asked before, are you rapture ready? And if it's not rapture ready because it comes via death, via graduation, are you ready to meet God? Because whether you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior or rejected him, you're going to stand before him no matter what. So just know that for sure. Listen, our Lord and Savior is coming back any moment. As the Word of God says, when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because our redemption draws near. And if that is meant for tribulation age saints, and we're seeing the shadows of all of these things happening, we could certainly lift up our heads because we know that our redemption draws near, and we're going to be out of here any moment. Britt, I enjoyed it. This was great. We got to do this again really, really soon. If you're up for it, I'm up for it too, brother.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
You bet, my brother. So listen, folks, until the next time, keep looking up, as I just said. See you guys.